Welcome back. This is Sight to the Blind. I have a very exciting show. I'm excited for this show. A lot of myths and information will be exposed. But first, let me talk about this whole Iran war. So you already know by now that it was over oil. It wasn't over any regime change or the fact that women are wearing hijabs or Sunni Islam against whatever sect of Islam. You know it's not about that. It's about that oil. In order to de-dollarize the petrodollar is to choke the oil. So that's what they're going after. That's what it's always been about. It's been about trying to destroy the West or trying to de-dollarize the dollar so much that we become a welfare state. Period. We're so dumbfounded by following Israel into wars and thinking that, oh, Donald Trump and our presidencies and the re-voting, all that stuff do not matter. I don't even know why they even give you any of these narratives. They should just do what they're going to do, and people are not going to do any or say anything about it. But like I said last episode, they need for you to go along with it because they absolutely need you in hell with them. See, when you know who's playing the sides, you figure out for yourself if you want to go along with it or not. It's not about trying to, it's really not, it's, for them, it's not about you finding out the truth. It's about you finding out salvation. They don't want you to find out salvation. They would rather you suffer and suffer and suffer, fall into one psyop after another psyop after another psyop, so you cannot defend for yourself and use your emotions, your body as a battery. That is pretty much all it's been about. Using you as a battery to charge up the unclean ruachs that we do not see beyond this veil. So the Shah of Iran, who got ousted, I think around 1970-something, he got ousted, and then the Muslim Brotherhood stepped in, and that's why it became like an over-politicized Islamic front, because the Muslim Brotherhood is an Islamic arm of Freemasonry. So all they did was snatch out this one leader, take his son, raise their son up in America. So now they reintroduce his son 60 years later. Now he's out there campaigning after already been touching the wall, the Edomite wall, the Western wall. He's out there touching that wall. It's already in the cards that he may be the next guy that's going to run the country. And now they're going to be able to milk it. But they already knew this was going to happen. And I told you, through numerology, I knew this was going to happen. Because the guy that they ousted, the Ayatollah, his name was equal to 59. He got unalive. Well, he probably didn't even get killed. He probably just got buried and went underground. Whatever happened to him, they did that on the 59th day of the year, which was February 28th. He had a 36-year rule. February 28th to the end of this year is 306 days left in the year. So it's like, it's all planned. That means they have selected this guy 36 years ago, and they knew what they were going to do 36 years ago, maybe even 40 to 50 years. They already knew this. But like I said, they have to give you a narrative so you go along with it, so they entrap you. It's like numerology, or if you ever seen Knives Out, the movie, or the movie Pi, which is like a mathematics movie, but the movie Knives Out, with one of the Chris's from that played Captain America, Chris Evans. And this whole thing in this movie was about how they tried to get this inheritance from their father and grandfather, that they thought that he was going to leave them so much money before he passes. And he went throughout this whole movie, cutting them off one by one and not giving them an inheritance. But the backdrop to that story was that they were playing this game called Go. I don't know how to play it. I've seen it in the movie. When it was described, it's basically like little pebbles they place all around the board. And I think you just place it one at a time where the moves practically become predictable. That's what this life is. Like, you just see chaos at first. You see just places to go to put the stone, places to go, places to go. And you're trying to cut your partner off or whatever the game is going with, because they take the pebbles off the game board. But it becomes predictable when you get down to where it's not enough space to move. And this is what they do. They bring you into where it's not enough space for you to move, where you have no moves left, where you can't move or do nothing. And that's where they entrap you. And that's why they feed you these narratives. Because if they tell you straight out, right, look, we're going to cut this oil off and we're going to watch hyperinflation go through the roof. We're going to de-dollarize the dollar. So you're left helpless and resources and money is going to cost you more and more and more. You would form gangs. You would form alliances. You would go through a barter system. Like, you would find a different way out. You would have enough space to move so where you don't rely on the government. You don't rely on mainstream media. You would give yourself options and outs. That's what they're doing. They're making you not be able to have outs. But after you understand this world the way it works and who's truly in power, you just wish it just come out already and get it over with. Truly. Because that's all they're doing. It's just they're supposed to get us into this world, new world order, and they're supposed to get into this great reset and bringing out the digital currency. You can't do that if the dollar is rising. You can't. You have to destroy the dollar. So you're trying to tell me also that all these countries that's surrounding Israel, all these Islamic countries that you think that they would be all together as being Muslims will go against this one country that's no bigger than New Jersey, still are so discombobulated from each other that they're shooting, they're blowing up each other's oil reserves and oil supply, or bombing each other. Like, I don't know why Iran is now bombing Saudi Arabia and Dubai. It makes no sense. But you know who's in charge of it, all of it now. You know who's in charge. You know who's the Mossad puppet. And it's not to fool the upper echelon, because they are ruled by principalities and powers that we don't see. They're just doing this to fool the people. They need to get the people on their side. So that's why I don't think... It's really a war. It's a scripted war. It's like, if you've seen the movie Wag the Dog, it's like they create a war so they can get through these agendas. And of course, when you watch like the footage of this war, like I said, you don't see nothing getting destroyed. Like, random buildings get destroyed. Random buildings, not even government buildings or where officials may be or whatever. You just see them destroy residential areas. Makes no sense to me. I don't care how strong that Iron Dome is. If those Muslims or Islam got together, it wouldn't even be a match. It truly wouldn't. Because if they hold all the oil, how is America going to fuel their planes? How are they going to fuel their military personnel? It's the same way all over the world. Britain don't have any oil fields. We have small oil fields, very small, but other countries don't really have the same type of capacity for oil as Venezuela did, and Saudi Arabia, Iran, and all these other countries did way out in the desert. Like, but yeah, but it's all supposed to be a part of Albert Pike's Three World War letter, that Islam and Zionism will mutually destroy themselves and wipe themselves out so they can bring in the New World Order or the Luciferian agenda. Because they're going to be false flagging us over here to death, I think so. They're just going to be false flagging. They already started in Austin, Texas. It wasn't even 24 hours when they got over this ritual that they already brought in some Senegalese black man. It makes it even more obvious that it's a false flag. He's wearing a property of Allah. Underneath that, he had like some Iran shirt that had the emblem of the Iran flag or something like that. Then he had the Quran in his car. Then he gets out. After doing a drive-by, he gets out the car and starts shooting randomly. And he can only clip three people and injure 14 to 16 others. I just don't get it. I don't understand. Like, when people go out and shoot, you know you can get clipped at least 10 to 15 people if you know what you're doing. Like, you got it. Like, if you know what you're doing, you know you can get more than three. Mortally, especially if you're walking up on them. Now, I saw that place, Buford. It's as big as I don't know what. There's a lot of people packed up in there. You trying to tell me you can only clip off three or four? Like I said, all this stuff, like a MK Ultra project that it never stops. It never stops. And people just have no idea about judgment. None. Because where are they popping up to do these false flags? Where a lot of people are already spiritually manipulated. Now, mind you, they go to one or two places. They go to the club. They go to three places, really. They go to nightclubs. They'll go to concerts. And then they go to churches. And anything that's associated with church events, like parades, Christmas parades, and stuff like that. That's where they like to get a group of people. It's always in those places. It's either at 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, late, where you're supposed to be asleep. Like Yahushua said that we up in the daytime and we sleep in the nighttime so we don't stumble. But people are oblivious to thinking that they won't be a part of a ritual or a psyop. So imagine you going to heaven right now. You got to explain to the Most High Yahuwah how you got clipped by a Masonic ritual for the purposes of them bringing AI surveillance in the whole country. Because that's what it's about. That whole open AI and Sam Altman and all that. Like I said, they gave these civilians this technology. Government military technology they've had for years. And they give it to somebody they like. So they basically gave it to a Jewish man who's gay and was married to a man. They gave it to him. They cut the other guy out because he didn't want to remove the red tape of using AI or the equipment of AI to search out people in this country. He didn't want to basically do what they did after 9/11. Was you could listen to people's phone calls, emails, text messages, and all that for the sake of Homeland Security. Now they're going to redo that. They're going to redo that. We're bringing in AI surveillance. And now when Trump signed something about the 6G, now they're going to put up more towers so the 6G can hold all of the AI technology when it comes to surveillance. So no matter where, it's like China, walking down the street, people could just, boom, check, like clip on you and your whole medical record history and what you say online pops up and what people have say about you, your social credit score, everything pops up. So it don't matter where you go. And people are worrying about your blood and them stealing your blood. No, they want your data. That's all they ever want is your data, because you control people with data more than you can control people by blood. So that's why when Sam Altman signed, he signed a contract with the government. It's not to look for no terrorists, because we'd be looking for ourselves in this country. It ain't looking for terrorists. It's just a way to surveil us. And I said this before. See, Satan can't be everywhere at once. Even though he has that very, very short season of 42 months, he can't be everywhere at once. So all he's doing is making a counterfeit Ruach HaKodesh. That's what he's doing, making a counterfeit Ruach HaKodesh where we're connected through frequency, Wi-Fi, 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G, 6G, as much as he can get us all connected like a hive mind into one thing. That's where his Ruach is. His Ruach is in technology because he can't be everywhere at once. So just like how the Most High's Ruach works, how he can bring the called out assembly together through one Ruach, one doctrine, Satan's going to do the same exact thing. But the Most High wants a few people to be connected. Satan wants everybody to be connected so everybody can fall. So just get ready. There's going to be a lot more false flags. I just hope that y'all ain't going to be too stupid to get caught out there. Are there any listeners that are from Austin or in Austin and knows about Buford's and all that? I mean, I looked up the numerology behind Buford's, and it's satanic. 330, and I know you heard me talk about that number 330 with another incident that happened. But like I said, if you look at the narratives, you look at the numbers, you see why they do everything they do, and you know why it's managed, that it's not random. I don't care what they tell you in the next coming weeks about sleeper cells and all that. It's going to be programming. That's all it is. It's just bringing what they show you in movies and bringing it into real life. It's going to be exciting, but it's also going to be tricky. Like I said, they're going after the dollar. So like I said, if you do not have outstanding debts, and if you're not behind the eight ball with payments and in your spending habits, you're good. But if you have a problem with spending, if you go out to eat more than you should, if you spend on frivolous things more than you should, you better start learning how to tighten up your budget right now, because you're not going to be able to do the same things that you're doing now another year or so down the line, because those things, those costs are going to be rising. We're already getting ready to experience another housing crisis, because now that the boomers, they call them, you know, been holding on these houses since the 80s and the 90s, they can't sell them because there's no market for sellers. I mean, there's no market for buyers because nobody has money to buy houses. And that's what they want. That's why these real estate companies that BlackRock and Vanguard own are buying up all these residential areas. Because if you buy it all up, you funnel people who have no option into smart cities. And then you can do whatever you want with the developments. Like, you don't have to put people in these houses, but eventually you would have to. But it's just holding out just long enough for you to, you know, get the mark, or you move into a smart city. They're going to do just enough for you have to make that decision yourself. Now, mind you, it doesn't say Satan forced people to take the mark. It says causes you to take the mark. So if you want to be a part of society, which you shouldn't, they're going to cause you to have that option. Like, you already seen these palm or hand devices all up in Whole Foods. I seen a video of a one woman so proud that she did it, and she thought it was so cool that she put her hand over the little palm thing and paid for her Whole Foods groceries. I was like, she is already out the back. She was already disqualified from heaven before it even got to being Satan causing you to get the mark. It's unbelievable. Everybody's going to rely on technology because no one wants to do anything themselves. Everybody does everything out of convenience. If it's an inconvenience, most people won't do it, or they'll struggle with it. That's what this society is going to. It's giving you too many options to not suffer through adversity or inconvenience. So people don't know what inconvenience feels like. Don't want to know what inconvenience feels like. Sometimes you need to be tried through inconvenience. How do you know you can stand or endure if you don't go through some adversity or inconvenience? But I want to get into this part of the show, because a sister in the comment section, Miss Yosh, made an excellent excellent point about why I observe the feast from the Southern Hemisphere. She says, "Hi, I'm observing feast dates based on the Southern Hemisphere, when all throughout Leviticus 23 it says, wherever you live. Curious to what scripture gives you another conclusion." Because Leviticus 23:3 says, throughout your dwellings. She took it as wherever you live. Because the Hebrew word and Strong's H4186, which is Mosh Hab, means dwelling place. Now, I don't know how dwelling place means wherever you live. So let's go throughout your dwellings and how it's differ from what she thought it meant. Deuteronomy 12:11. "Then there shall be a place which Yahuwah Elohim shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your ascending smoke offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto Yahuwah." Now, if you doing these feast days wherever you live at that time when the Israelites were doing them, then how could they ever bring anything like as far as ascending smoke offerings and sacrifices and tithes to the place that the Most High has chosen? And you have to remember, they're in their land. Africa is a very big land. So wherever they're out throughout their dwellings, whether it be in Hebron, Rehoboth, Bethlehem, Lechem, wherever they're at, they have to come back and bring to where the Most High said to bring all the sacrifices and tithes. So it's not wherever you want. And the Most High has proven to us and shown us through scripture that the land is very important. Ye shall rejoice before Yahuwah Elohim, ye and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the Levites that's within your gates, for as much as he has no part nor inheritance with you. Guard yourself that you offer not your ascending smoke offerings in every place that you see. So he's saying also that you can't just do whatever you want and go wherever you want. So say like you're in Paris and it's a feast day and you have to set up an offering for a feast day because most of these feast days come with burnt offerings or ascending smoke offerings. He's saying that don't be all over the place building up these altars for ascending smoke offerings. So it's not wherever you live, but in the place which Yahuwah shall choose in one of your tribes, there you shall offer your ascending smoke offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. Now, that's just for the Israelites. Now, when you get to later in Scripture, as far as Paul and how important it was, let me do Ezra first. Ezra 6, 19 through 22. And the children of the captivity kept the Pesach upon the 14th day of the first month. For the priests and the Levites were purified together. All of them were pure and killed the Pesach for all the children of the captivity and for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves. And the children of Yashareel, which were come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto from the filthiness of the heathen of the land to seek Yahuwah Elohai of Yashareel, did eat. So when they were in captivity, they just didn't do the feast days while they were in captivity in the heathenish land. They went back to Yerushalayim. You see what I'm saying? They didn't stay there and do the feast days. They were able to travel because in their captivity, they were allowed to go back. So they made a decision. Jerusalem is important. The land is important. The seasons are important. And kept the feast of Matzah 7 days with joy, for Yahuwah had made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Ashur unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of Elohim, the Elohai of Yashareel. So the Most High softened the heart while they were in captivity so they could go back to Yerushalayim, not stay there and do the feast days. Now, get to Paul in Acts 20:16. It says, for Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Yerushalayim the day of the feast of Shavuot. Here is Paul, not in captivity. Do whatever he want, travel wherever he wanted to. Spreading the gospel, made it a point to not be where he was and do the feast of Shavuot, but travel back to Yerushalayim. Now, mind you, Paul is way up north. Paul, if you understand where the real biblical lands are, you know how far Paul had to travel to go from Ephesus up in Europe to go back down to the southern hemisphere. That shows how important the land is. Now, when the Most High talked about this right of a return for us, he didn't say, oh, you know what? I'm going to keep you guys here and you're just going to prosper wherever I led you at. No. Most scriptures and most prophecies talk about every time there was a captivity that he was going to bring us back to the land. Why did he just didn't prosper us wherever we were? Especially when most of the captivities were in Africa. So why he just didn't leave us there and say, okay, I'm just going to make you a nation. I'm going to make you great wherever you are. You could do the feast days wherever you are. You don't have to worry about coming back to the land. It's because the oath that he gave to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that we would be brought back because it's our land. You have to understand it's ours. You have to have some type of pride about having it be ours. Get this, I'm American or foundational Black American or I'm an Aborigine or Indigenous American. Get that stuff nonsense out your mind. Get it out of your mind. We're supposed to be seeking the Most High with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our ruach. First Baruch 2:31-35. And shall know that I am Yahuwah Elohim, for I will give them a heart and ears to hear. And they shall praise me in the land of their captivity and think upon my name and return from their stiff neck and from their wicked deeds. For they shall remember the way of their fathers which sinned before Yahuwah. And I will bring them again into the land which I promised with an oath unto their fathers, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and they shall be Adonim of it, and I will increase them, and they shall not be diminished. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them to be their Yahuwah, and they shall be my people. And I will no longer drive my people of Yashareel out of the land that I have given them. This is a future prophecy told to us thousands of years ago. So regardless if you want to do the Northern Hemisphere feast days or not, you, if you are part of the selection, part of the elect, you're going to be in the Southern Hemisphere anyway. So what's the difference between learning how to do it now and eventually having to do it later? 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive and turn and pray unto you in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land, which you gave unto their fathers, and toward the city which you have chosen, and toward the house which I have built for your name, then hear from the heavens, even from your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people which have sinned against you. Pray toward their land. This is why when I get my prayer closet, I pray towards the land. It ain't that hard. You take your phone out, you go to the maps, and you know you got the compass that moves when you move. I face toward the Southern Hemisphere. Same thing with Daniel did when Daniel was in captivity. Daniel prayed out, looking out of the window, but he prayed towards Yerushalayim. So again, I'm showing you the importance of the land. Now, there is a feast day calendar that's being spread online, where it has Passover or Pesach, March 24th, 2026, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, March 25th to March 31st, Feast of First Fruits, April 5th, 2026, Feast of Shavuot, May 24th, 2026, Feast of Trumpets, September 9th, Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, September 18th, and Feast of Sukkot, September 23rd to September 30th. And at the bottom of this AI graphic that has the feast days on it is Leviticus 23:4. These are the feasts of Yahuwah, even set apart convocations, which you shall proclaim in their appointed seasons. Did it say appointed Northern Hemisphere seasons or appointed Southern Hemisphere seasons? Now we know where the Bible takes place. We know where Yerushalayim is. It's in the Southern Hemisphere. It's the appointed seasons. Let's go to Jubilees 1:15. They will forget all my Torah and all my commandments and all my judgments and will go astray as to new moons and Shabbats, and feasts, and jubilees, and ordinances. So when I look at this calendar that has all the appointed feast days on it, I don't see anything about the days of remembrance. I don't see anything about the fast and some of the biblical fasts. I don't see anything about new moons. Jubilee 6:38. This reason I command and testify to you that you may testify to them, for after your death, your children will disturb them, so that they will not make the year 364 days only, and for this reason they will go wrong as to the new moons and seasons. They will go wrong as to the new moons and seasons and Shabbats and feasts, and they will eat all kinds of blood with all kinds of flesh. This is the angel of the presence talking to Moshe and giving him all the rundown. With the Jubilees is the book of years, so he's giving them all the backstory and the stories to come to Moshe. This is why he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. He wasn't just getting 10 commandments, 40 days and 40 nights. He was getting everything. So he was able to lead and encourage and correct his people. But it says, we will go wrong as to the new moons and seasons. So the seasons must be important. The land must be important. The hemisphere must be important. Now let's go to Psalms 104. He made the moon for appointed feasts. The sun knows his going down. He made the moon for appointed feasts. If you go to the dates that I have just described where these feast days lie and look at the moon phase of all of these feast days, the moon phases are all over the place. They're first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, all over the place. How is this a sign that's mentioned in scripture? He made the moon for appointed feast. Now, the appointed feast, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Yom Terah being September 9th, I guarantee you it's not a new moon phase. So he made the moon and for the appointed feast. So the moon and its phase are important. Let's go to Sirach 43, 6 through 8. He made the moon also to serve in her season, for a declaration of times and a sign of the world. He made the moon also to serve in her season for a declaration of times and a sign of the world. So what's the declaration of time? Jubilees 36, for there will be those who will surely make observations of the moon, how it disturbs the seasons and comes in from year to year, 10 days too soon. This is where we get, or where I get the 354-day calendar, because time has sped up. The moon is declaring that time is being sped up. That's how we declare it. Now, the feast day calendar that I see doesn't compensate for the fact that time is moving fast, because they're trying to fit 364 days on this calendar and they're losing all of the new moon phases, the new moon Shabbats, the new moon feast days, which throws off their Shabbats, which throws off all their feast days. Because Shavuot, Sukkot, and Pesach are in the middle of the month, which is the 15th, day. That means the moon is always full between the 14th and the 15th. That is a sign. Sirach 43, 7 and 8. From the moon is the sign of feast, a light that decreases in her perfection. What is her perfected state? It is a full moon. From the moon is the sign of feasts. That means the feast days that I just showed you in this calendar that's traveling all over online, the moons are all over the place. So how can one moon differ from, how can the moon of Pesach be so different from the feast of Shavuot, be so different in the feast of Sukkot? How is that a sign? And I bet you next year, the moon's going to be all over the place again. So how is that going to be a sign if the moon is in its odd phase where it's traveling throughout the quarters, where it's 50% illuminated or 40% illuminated, 30% illuminated throughout these feast days? That's not a sign to us. The month is called after her name, increasing wonderfully in her changing, being an instrument of the armies above, shining in the expanse of heaven. The month is called after her name. The month is not called month. The month is called after her name, increasing wonderfully in her changing. If she's increasing, she must be increasing in light. So once that little light sliver hits the moon, as is mentioned in Enoch 78:14, it's increasing. Second Chronicles chapter 2, verse 4. I build a house to the name of Yahuwah Elohai, to dedicate it to him and to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, and for the ascending smoke offerings morning and evening, on the Shabbats and on the new moons and on the solemn feasts of Yahuwah Elohanu. This is an ordinance forever to Yasharel. An ordinance forever. I offer two hind shank lambs every Shabbat. Every Shabbat I do this. And when it comes to the new moon, I offer beef and I offer two lambs again, mingled with oil, flour, and salt. Oryx salt, because it's South African salt. Mingle it with wine. Then I ascend the smoke offering it. I do this every new moon and every Shabbat now, because it's an ordinance forever. So the calendar, this feast calendar, which is ironically hilarious because they use Leviticus 23:4, which says in their appointed seasons. So if it's an appointed season, that means we should be mirroring the seasons of where the biblical lands are, not our own hemisphere. It is not that hard to do it in reverse anyway. It truly isn't. None of us have crops or a field or livestock that we, you know, have to move around the seasons in order to do these feast days. We don't. Most of us just have a backyard and that's it. And we can go to the store or go to a butcher shop to complete these ordinances. That's how easy it can be. But it is a little bit of a work. That's why I have a dry eraser board. I ain't just doing this from the top of my head. I gotta constantly check myself over and over again because I'm on two calendars. I'm on the Gregorian calendar. I'm on Yah's calendar. So I have to write things down, cross things out, and make sure I'm on point every single month. It's work, yes. But the blessings that's going to come from it is so much more than me just griping about, oh, we got to reverse the seasons. I got to find out when the moon is going to be this. It's not that hard once you get used to it. 2 Chronicles 8:13, after a certain rate every day, offering according to the commandment of Moshe on the Shabbats, and on the new moons, and on the solemn feasts, three times in the year, even in the feasts of Matzah, and the feasts of Shavuot, and the feasts of Sukkot. All of those feast days are in the middle of the month. All of that, the moon phase is full. I don't care if you start off in the March. If you that's what you want to do, you want to start off with the spring season being March, I guarantee you better have that moon phase correct. Because if it's not correct, you fall right back into what Jubilee said, that you will go wrong as to the seasons, to the new moons, to the Shabbats, and to the feast days. You can't have one without the other. You can't just put feast days on a map, on a calendar and say, we're just going to do it this way, just so you can fit 364. I'm just going to do it this way and just roll with it. Especially when there's information out there that's going against these feast days on this particular calendar. 3 Ezra chapter 5, verse 52. And after that, the continual oblations and the sacrifice of the Shabbats and of the new moons and of all holy feasts. Y'all should just get the Sefer, or if you get it digitally or download it from your app store, just type in new moon and feasts. You see how many times new moon feasts come up. You think it's just talking about months? How it's translated and just it's mistranslated to months? That makes no sense. Months, it's just months. So months, we doing a whole month of a sacrifice, whole month of offering? Or is just like, is it actually a new moon based on a phase of the moon, which I described already? 1 Maccabees 10:34. I will that all the feasts and Shabbats and new moons and solemn days and the 3 days before the feast and the 3 days after the feast shall be all of immunity and freedom for all the Yehudim in my realm. This is coming from the book of Maccabees. You know, when the Grecians came in and destroyed the temple, and now these wicked Grecian kings try to make contracts with us, trying to make peace with us, and you know, say, oh, you can do your feast days, you can do your new moons, you don't have to worry about it. Just stop butchering us. You know, obviously because Yehuda Maccabee and his brothers caused such an uproar that it just threw the entire Grecian nation, you know, into stress. So they got tired of battling against us. They got tired of being exposed. They got tired of being trodden down by just a handful of people. They said, you know, we just want peace. That's all we want. We want peace. If you want to do your ordinances and your statutes, look, we'll give you 3 days before and 3 days after to do your feast days. Just imagine what it could be now when the Most High comes back, or, you know, if people find out we are, you know, truly the people, because they're not really being blessed by the fake land of Israel and they're being blessed by us. I could see the president like, look, just let Yasharel, we'll give them time and space to do to time off work to do their feast days. Matter of fact, if they want to do new moons, give them 2 days off and 2 days after to do their new moon ceremonies and do their new moon offerings. It was like the same thing in Exodus. Before Moshe approached Pharaoh to say, look, we want to offer to the Most High Yahuwah, give us some time so we can go do that. And Pharaoh was like, okay, go on about your business. Go do that. Moshe and them never came back. So he tried to send people to go get us to come back. But Moshe say, look, we haven't offered to our Yahuwah in a while. Let us go into the wilderness for a while and offer to him. And Pharaoh's like, okay, go offer to him. So if the first captivity is going to be like the last captivity, I could see the president like, okay, these plagues are hitting us, and it's obviously because of the children that are here. And it's obviously because of the remnant and the called out assembly Gentiles that are cleaving to the house of Yasharel. Allow them, so we can stop having these plagues, allow them to offer to their your Yahuwah. But that's basically the answer. That's your answer. When they said dwelling place, they were talking to Yasharel, and they were in their own land at the time. They weren't all over the place. They were in their land. And even when they were out of their land, when they were in captivity, they made it a point to come back to the land. The Most High softened the heart of our captors, our oppressors, so we could go back to the land to offer. And they didn't stay still and was like, okay, we'll just do the feast here. We'll just do it in a different time zone. We'll do it in a different hemisphere. We'll just do it wherever we're at, and the Most High will be pleased. It obviously shows me that through certain captivities, the Most High allowed the king to allow the Israelites to go back to Jerusalem to build up the house of Yahuwah and do these feast days, or in time for the feast days that were coming. And when Paul wasn't even in captivity, that could travel wherever he wanted, whenever he pleased, he went back to Jerusalem. So this calendar that's being traveled around, it's not even information being attached to it of why they're choosing these particular dates of March 24th. I tried to go back 14 days and look at the moon. It's supposed to be a new moon, March 10th. That's what I think the starting point. If you go back to 14 days, it's March 10th. So that should be the first day of the year. But it don't say anything about being the first day of the year. And the moon is not even a new moon phase. It's just the moon is, I don't know, like the first quarter, or it's like 40% to 50% illuminated. So I don't know how scripture is, you know, how they are using scripture to validate this calendar. It's just, here's the dates, and this is how we follow them. And then, like I said, ironically, it's Leviticus 23:4 at the bottom of where it says, proclaim it in their appointed seasons. So it has to be the correct seasons that these feast days are observed. I hope that answers my sister's question. I guarantee y'all gonna see that calendar again. And just refer back to this video and go back to, and look up. You see it online, it's AI. It has like, I don't know, it has like the Ten Commandments and the Feast of Matzah stuff and the shofar. And for some reason it has a scale with a candle on it. And then a Sukkot booth. You know when you see it, it's like an AI artistic thing. All I'm saying is look at the dates individually and look at the moon. And go with the scriptures that I exposed to you or showed you to see if it's correct. I mean, if you're going to do it in the northern hemisphere, at least have the moons correct. So then your Shabbats could be correct. Or you're just going to fall into what they said was going to eventually happen in Jubilees. That you will go wrong, you will follow after the other nations, after their error, and after their ignorance.